Before we officially start, I must give a special shout out to the boys over at Recovery. Much like myself and the lads, Chris and Ian are a couple of rugby fanatics like we all are, and they've created various products with recovery in mind based around natural CBD remedies. Head over to their Instagram page or website and use the code FREEBLOKES, that's the number three, followed by BLOKES, for 10% off all their natural products and feel the benefit today.
Good afternoon, good morning and good evening from wherever you're listening from. My name is Jamie Robinson and welcome to episode 113 of Three Blokes and a Rugby League podcast. You must have been living under a rock if you don't know what happened this past weekend. It was the NRL Grand Final with Penrith Panthers up against the South Sydney Bunnies, and the Three Blokes are here to talk through every second of it. I'm joined by my fellow colleagues Callum Wood and Jed Amos Goddard. Each bloke has taken a team. Jed has taken the Bunnies and Woody has taken the Penrith Panthers, and we'll talk about it in detail. First of all, lads, welcome back. How are you doing ahead of this coming weekend?
Yeah, not too bad. Obviously, it's the last game of the Rugby League calendar in the Catalans and the Saints Grand Final. I think I'm pretty safe when I say I speak for all three of us that we will be heavily rooting for a Catalan win. I'm sure we'll touch that on later in the podcast, though. But yeah, good week and a nice Monday. What about you, Woody?
Same for me, mate. Really enjoyed the weekend just gone and looking forward to this game coming this weekend. Me and Jamie are going to be there at Old Trafford, so hopefully in for a bit of a cracker. And yeah, I think we'll both be rooting for Catalan, so here we go.
Viva la Catalan is what I'll be saying all that day. So not to forget as well, lads, we've got the Women's Super League final, St. Helens up against Leeds Rhinos, and the Championship Shield as well, Toulouse Olympique against Featherstone Rovers. Two very big games additionally to the Super League. But today we will be covering the Penrith Panthers 14, the South Sydney Bunnies 12, the third NRL Premiership of the Penrith Panthers lifetime. Unlucky for the South Sydney Bunnies. Jed, we're going to come to you first, mate. Obviously, we're going to cover it separately. We're going to talk about the game in general, ask a few questions, and then you both have got your ratings and we're going to accumulate the man of the match from that. So, Jed, South Sydney Bunnies came out the losers in a valiant effort, didn't they? Very much so, mate.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't have really done anything more. They really threw everything they could do at Panthers, and it's just a credit to the Panthers that they were managed to get the victory. No real negatives about the Bunnies game, if I'm honest. It was just one of them that just came up short against a team that were slightly better on the day. It's probably one of the few times where I've seen the fans after a losing a grand final just be so proud of the performance from the team. Like on social media, everyone's just been saying how proud they are of the squad and what they've done, and they were just unlucky on the day. I mean, the game was played at an absolutely phenomenal speed. That first half, you just had to take a second after the half-time whistle to catch your breath, because it was non-stop and relentless all the way through. I mean, in the game itself, the Bunnies had 77% completion and only missed 20 tackles. And they're usually stats in the NRL from a victorious team, but alas, that was not the case in this game. I mean, after falling behind to the first try, it was a lovely piece of footwork from Cody Walker to pull back level, putting the big fend on Nathan Cleary, putting him on his backside, and then rounding Dylan Edwards a bit. He's just showed his continuous class and his off-the-cuff style of rugby, which has dominated many teams this season. And he got them really back into the game. One area which I did think let the Bunnies down, and it was mentioned on commentary quite a lot throughout the course of the game, I think Joey mentioned it a few times, was the real lack of kick pressure from the Bunnies, which ultimately allowed Nathan Cleary to absolutely kick South to death. His kicking game was exceptional. I can't really think of a kick that Nathan Cleary did wrong. He pinpointed it where it wanted and helped them win the territory in the possession battle. And the chase from the kick, absolutely pinning the Bunnies outside backs within the own half. They couldn't really get out anywhere. And especially with the speed that they do have in their outside backs, what they were doing, as soon as the first person caught it, whether it be Taff, whether it be Paul, whether it be Johnston, they rushed in, stopped the play, and then sort of formed a mini umbrella arc on the second phase to stop any momentum gaining. And as soon as they did that, you saw South sort of revert to a lot of one-up rugby, I noticed. But that's just because of the pure speed and the tenacity of the defence from the Penrith Panthers. It utilised any ability that the outside backs of the Bunnies have. And I think that was a real key difference in the game, which saw Penrith probably have that little bit edge in the outside backs. South, they seemed to run out of options in the second half. And even though it looked very close at the end, I think they were running on adrenaline. I mean, this is something that we will touch on, but it's probably where Latrell Mitchell could have unleashed some magic. And I don't want to disregard Blake Taft's performance because I thought he did very well in the job that he's been given. But you sort of thought a miss. It sort of looked like the Bunnies just didn't have that extra X factor, if you will. They didn't have that game-breaking moment that we know Latrell. It was only really coming from Cody Walker, and he can't do it all on his own. If you looked at that Penrith squad, they had numerous players capable of having that spark, that game-breaking moment, whereas the Bunnies just sort of lacked that, and that's probably where Latrell would have come into his element. And you saw just how they were trying to push things that maybe weren't working, and that was made absolutely evident by the interception that Stephen Crichton got from that Cody Walker pass, just trying to push it that little bit too much, trying to get it over to get out of their own ends, just because, again, the defence that the Penrith Panthers were showing was just so amazing, intense, that they had to resort to tactics that probably they weren't familiar with, just to try and get them upfield to get them in a chance of being in a scoring zone, really. One mention, though, to me, who I thought personally was Bunny's best player, is Cam Murray. Absolutely gave it. He gave his all and really played with his heart. It's what we've come to expect from Cameron Murray. 52 out of 52 tackles, not missing a single one in a grand final, is nothing short of phenomenal. It is extraordinary. He didn't really put a foot wrong. You could say you'd want a little bit more impact from him running the ball and getting that quick play of the ball to allow Damien Cook to maybe expose around the ruck. But when you're having to do so much tackling, 52 tackles, we can't really fault him for not probably having the run meters or getting the runs that we want him to do. Saying that, he still clocked up 97 meters, two tackle busts, one line break and one offload. A real gutsy performance. And to be honest, he didn't deserve to be on the losing side. He deserves to be winning a grand final with those stats. Tom Burgess was a real big impact from the bench, added some aggression and impetus when we came on. I can't remember who it was, but it might have been Matt Burton, who he absolutely threw and absolutely cleaned him out, a clean tackle as well. And I feel like the Bunnies needed a little bit more of that time. And not that the defence was bad, but it was laboured and they were tired, and you could see that they were tired, where Panthers never really showed that tiredness in defence where the Bunnies did. And you sort of felt like you could always sort of sense which team were on top by how both teams were defending. I've got to give a nod to, and with Tom Burgess, 139 metres, four tackle busts, one offload and 23 out of 23 tackles. Again, not really putting a foot wrong and doing everything he can to try and will his Bunnies team to the victory. I've got to give a nod to Adam Reynolds. It will relive those two moments at the end of the game a lot coming in the coming weeks. If he could have that kick again, not really that he messed it up, but he knows he can make kicks like that. It's what players dream about when they are converters growing up, and kicking in the park at touchline. We've all probably done it, saying, oh, it's the Challenge Cup final, I'm playing for Wakey and I've got a kick to win it. It's what you practice time and time again. So really disappointing for him not to be able to take that game to what probably would have been golden point. And obviously you can't really mention too much about that two-point drop goal he went for. It was a really poor attempt and never really looked like being able to go over, but it's just that's just how the game went, unfortunate for him. I think on the whole, Souths can be very, very happy with the performance and the way they played, but they can't really have any qualms with the results. Penrith Panthers just that a little bit too strong in most areas, and they deserve to get the win in the end. And I think fair play to Penrith having to play Parramatta 8-6, and then a really tough performance against the Storm last week, and another tougher performance against the Bunnies, and to come out victory in all three is a massive praise to them, and they deserve the grand final win, in my opinion.
Not getting too ahead of ourselves, Jed, but looking at this, you know, the starting 17 that they don't have Latrell in, and we've mentioned it about Penrith, you've got to lose one to win one. With the Bunnies losing Wayne Bennett, Dane Gagai, Adam Reynolds, Jaden Sewer, potentially Benji Marshall from this side, can they go again next year, or is it going to be a little bit too tough for them?
I think next year, even though they've still got a core of players there, I think it's going to be a more of a rebuilding season for them. A new coach coming in, and obviously me and Jamie will sing Jason Demetriou's praises all day long. He's probably both our favourite ever Wakey player, and he's proved that he is a good coach. He did it at Keighley, he's done it with I think it was Northern Pride, and he's been in the understudy to some great coaches, and there's no one better to learn off than Wayne Bennett. But they are losing some big players. I think they'll still be in the top six. Whether they can push all the way to the final or not, I think it might be a little bit stretched too far. But then the season after, I think that's when they'll start becoming strong again and becoming a real force.
Where did you see it going wrong with the Bunnies in this game? You've mentioned, obviously, the kick pressure was was poor on occasion. Adam Reynolds didn't have his best kicking boots on. Obviously, we could talk about the Cody Walker intercept, but that's kind of a 1 in 1 million chance that would usually happen for him. Where do you feel little points in the game where they could have maybe just improved it a little bit more?
I think just the line speed in general. Penrith looked ready to battle anywhere on the pitch in terms of the defence. And I think the best way to describe it is that they were more enthusiastic than the Bunnies. Even though the Bunnies' effort was there, I feel like, it's hard to describe, but I feel like the Penrith did it with more of a smile on their face, if that makes sense. It seemed like Penrith were really loving the occasion, really loving, didn't really seem that flustered. Nathan Cleary obviously took a lot of, I mean, the whole team did took a lot of learning from that first half in the grand final last year, where they were absolutely battered by Melbourne. And what was it, 20-0 at halftime, something like that? And then obviously they came back in the second half. I think they learned a lot from that experience and started off really positively and took the game to the Bunnies. Maybe the Bunnies weren't expecting that. Maybe, like myself, were expecting maybe Penrith to be a little bit tired after the grueling games. And they were just out-infused, the Bunnies, and would just seem to have enjoy the game more, whereas the Bunnies seemed a little bit rattled by the occasion on times.
I think it's interesting. Obviously, it was Wayne Bennett's 10th ever grand final, which in itself is exceptional. He's lost three of them 10, won the other seven. The three that he's lost, he lost his first ever one, which you can kind of give or take. He's lost the second one to the Cowboys in extra time by 1 point. And he's lost his third one by 2 points to Penrith when he was very close to equaling that up as well. So it says enough, Jed, done it. And if it does end after this game, we know he potentially might be going to a new expansion club. It's got to go down at least the best coach in our lifetime.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, if you look at his resume, there's no one else that can really coach. I mean, just to be at the top of his game since he made his coaching debut in 1987. I mean, it's before anyone, 6 years, 5 years before any of us were born. And to still be at the top after so long is an absolute credit. His man management skills are second to none. There's so many players that look up to him as a father figure and rely on him and want to be in his life just because that's the impact he has on his players and his motivational skills. And yeah, he'll go down as one of, if not the greatest coach of all time.
You feel as though Benji should have been used a little bit earlier, mate? Obviously, I know he had to come on very briefly for Dane Gagai when he went off for an HIA, but do you feel as though he was utilised correctly?
He could have maybe been brought on for a bit longer, but the way Penrith were playing, I don't know really what impact Benji could have had. Maybe he could have been an extra link player to push him out to the outside backs. But I don't think it would have had much a difference. I just think the game, the way it was, it's not really suited to Benji's style. It was a very much, I'd say, outside backs from both teams struggled to get into the game. And it was more, obviously, the forwards really battling the door down and then a few little game-breaking moments. I don't think Benji would have had too much impetus on the game, to be honest.
Superb stuff, Jed. Jed, if you want to talk us through your points, mate, and just little tidbits on little performances that you feel, you know, that they made throughout the game.
Yeah, so me and Woody, we agreed that five, I know usually five might be seen as quite a low mark, but we've said five is the average. So that means they didn't do anything wrong, but they didn't really do anything right. They were just bobbing along and played a sort of an average game. So for fullback Blake Taff, I've gone 5.5. Tried to do what he could, but it was just out-muscled in every single tackle. I think every time I saw him take the ball and he would take him back about 5 metres, which is nothing, that's nothing a shame on Blake Taff. That's just, again, the tenacity of the Panthers defence. Alex Johnston and Jackson Polo, I'll give Johnston 6 and Polo 6.5. Struggled to get into the game. They were safe under the high balls and did do runs, but didn't really have an impact other than that. I know Johnston scored, but it was a simple, pretty much a put down, which he's been doing all season. Dane Gagai, 7, I thought probably a really good game from Dane Gagai, especially when he went off early with the head knock. He came in and looked to break the lines and really was the only outside back I thought that caused Penrith any kind of real danger. Looked to get a few half breaks a couple of times. Had a real quick play of the ball, which I noticed, which allowed Damien Cook to scoot out on the occasion that he did. And yeah, he tried his heart out. And I think the type of game it was, we couldn't have really done anything more. Did his absolute best at the outside back. Go on, Jamie.
10 tackle breaks from Dane Gagai as well in a grand final. Exceptional.
That says it all. I didn't even realise that were that high many, but it don't surprise me. He was constantly a thorn in Penrith's side and probably deserved to be on the score sheet. Campbell Graham, 4.5. Really disappointed with Campbell Graham. I say really disappointed. It's a grand final. But I thought he's usually one that he just shows up. But I can't really, I don't know, I'll throw it over to you two very quickly. Can you think of anything Campbell Graham did in the game at all?
Not really. I was talking to Woody pre-podcast, actually, and I felt Taff, Graham and Paul have all got a bit caught up in the occasion. Johnston has obviously been there before, he's won it. Gagai's a big game player, even though he hasn't played in a grand final. I just felt Graham and Paulo, especially on that side, got a bit swallowed up by it all. I'm not sure if your thoughts on that, would it?
Yeah, I completely agree with you as well, mate. Like we said off pod just before, I think the occasion did just get to them a little bit. You know, when you compared it to Penrith back three as well in the centres, you know, they didn't make loads of game-breaking plays. Now, there's really solid churning for meters and setting a good platform. But yeah, it did struggle a little bit.
Yeah, it were a shame, but they'll learn from the experience and come back. And Campbell Graham is a quality player, and he'll know that he would have been happy with his performance. Into the halves, Cody Walker, 7.5. He's just a danger. Yeah, he was at fault for one of the tries, but he also scored one and had a big hand in another. So we can't really fault him too much. And he was a constant probing threat as well from that Penrith squad and has just done what he's done all season, really. Adam Reynolds, I give a 7, probably may have been a 6.5, but I thought he tried to control the game as best as he did, got a few big kicks away. But again, when he did, it was because of the pressure that Penrith had on him. He was unable to fully utilise his kicking game to the best, but he was still solid. But what I noticed is when he did get big, deep kicks, the outside backs weren't chasing nowhere near as much as the Panthers' outside backs were, which was another game where the game was won and lost. Matt Nichols, I've given a 6.5, and Tevita Totola 7. Again, very solid displays. Thought Totola did well in what he did and really did some hard graft and tried his hardest to try and get on the front foot. Matt Nichols, probably not as much impact in his attack, but I thought his defence was really solid and just what you'd expect them to do, basically. Damien Cook, I give a 7.5. Whenever there was a quick play of the ball, he was probing around, trying to get through, getting his hands were clean. And again, his tackle stats were something crazy. I think he was close to 50 tackles as well. And you couldn't have really expected anything more from him. The second rowers, the Keon Kolomatangi, 6.5, and Jaden Sewer, 6. The Bruce brothers, probably wanted a little bit more from Jaden Sewer. The player that he is, I was a little bit disappointed. I don't think he got into the game as much as he can do, or has shown that he can do. Kolomatangi was just doing what he does, running hard, tackling hard. Very basic, but that's what you need from your forward in a grand final. But yeah, I thought Sewer could have probably impacted the game a little bit more, and he did have that knock-on where he just absolutely dropped the ball with no one around him. Real shame and amateur stuff, really, and it probably, again, just the occasion got to him. But my man of the match, number 13, Cameron Murray, one of my favourite players. I think he's an extraordinary player. 8.5. Did, as I say, I've already mentioned him briefly. I can't really touch on anything more. He's just a phenomenal loose forward. Probably would like to see him get a quick play of the ball a little bit more to help Damien Cook. But as I say, when you're making 52 tackles, you can't really expect much else. And he's a goddamn good-looking man in here. So to come off at the grand final, still looking a good-looking bloke, fair play to him. And then on the bench, Benji, I've put a 5. Didn't really do anything wrong, but didn't really impact the game. Jacob Hurst, again, similar, didn't do anything wrong. Came on, tackled when he needed to and run, but again, didn't really impact the game. Tom Burgess, I've touched on, I've given him an 8. Probably what they needed more, especially from Hurst and Arrow off the bench. But he really led from that bench and tried as much as he could to get the Bunnies back into the game. And Jaiora, 4.5. Probably the player him and Campbell Graham disappointed in the most, because I know the quality that they have. I don't know if that head knock that he took earlier on, although he did pass his HIA, may have had an impact on him. But yeah, again, for a player of his quality and what he can do, he just never really got in the game. So yeah, a bit disappointed from him. Any of those that you guys have got any completely disagree with, or do you think I'm talking sense?
I think you're probably about right with those, mate. Fair assessment on most of them, or all of them, really.
And I tell you what, mate, actually looking through that, I can't think of a time I even saw Jacob Hurst in the game. He's not one of them players that purposely stands out or that I realistically look for, but yeah, just didn't see him at all, if I'm honest. I thought that South bench, apart from Burgess, didn't have any impact at all.
Yeah, I totally agree. And they just probably needed... And I think just the forwards, probably in general, apart from Totola, Nichols and Kolomatangi, Sewer should have had a bigger impact. Hurst and Jaiora didn't really influence the game much at all, whereas the other ones had a go. So again, three players there that not necessarily had bad games, but we just needed to be impacting the Bunnies team more.
Thank you very much, Jed. Passing over to our very own Cameron Murray, very good looking bloke. Woody, mate, tell us about the Penrith Panthers, the 2021 Premiers.
I need to make a sound bite out of that and replay it again and again, mate. Big thanks for that. Yeah, Penrith for Premiers. That's the bottom line. And, you know, the result of a really fine season for them, which climaxed in a gritty win over the Bunnies. I think it'd be fair to assess it as that. Absolutely worked themselves into the ground, squeezed past in the end. Like you've said before, to win any sort of competition, especially one of this stature, you absolutely have to beat the best sides. And since losing out to the Bunnies in the first round of the finals, they've come through against the Eels, the Storm, now a close foot final against the Bunnies. I know Jed mentioned the score lines in those three earlier, but they've absolutely had to battle in all three of those games. There's been a score in it each time. Could very easily have gone the other way and left Panthers with a second grand final defeat on the spin, but they came through thanks to some clutch plays and a very much superior kicking game from Cleary. Both at goal and in play, 4-5 dropouts. And three of those, you know, were early on when they were piling on the pressure in the opening period. And those dropouts specifically, they're so key in planning the strategy for their attack and in turn causing Bunnies to tackle themselves out of the game. Like Jed mentioned with Cam Murray, you know, made 52 tackles and couldn't make much of an impact in attacks. He's spending so much time and energy on defence. Cleary deserved the Churchill Medal without a doubt. 100% conversion rate, 2 out of 2 from the tee. You know, it's only two kicks, you say that, but look what it came down to in the end. 111 run metres for 22 runs, 3 busts, 2 offloads, 21 in-play kicks, which amassed to 649 kick metres. 10 of those were bombs throughout the game, which, you know, gives us a behind-the-scenes look at their game plan. There were some other excellent efforts from the Panthers, but Cleary, Boot especially, was absolutely so key in dragging them over the line. It seems strange to rave about a Panthers defence, which, on the face of it in this game, actually missed 59 tackles. And now when I looked at that number, I almost couldn't believe it. 15 of those were attributed to Aki Korosar, which, you know, is pretty amazing. I don't know if you'll see another game this season where one player missed 15 tackles. Aside from Walker's try, they've really repelled so much as they have done all season. There's some desperate defence, especially on the goal line. And I think you can put a lot of that huge number down to their reactive cover defence in the final 15, but yeah, it really was a surprising read to see that. I imagine it probably surprised you too as well. The Panthers' backs, especially the back three, absolutely incredible in their get-out sets, as they have been all season again. Brian Totto and Stephen Crichton, 238 and 207 run metres, respectively. Dylan Edwards with 230. And it's been revealed, you know, over the weekend that he was playing with a fracture in his foot, which is an unbelievable effort. I think there were, you know, 6 or 7 Panthers players who were pretty much patched up and kind of struggling through the week. The likes of Fisher Harris as well, and Brian Totto was, and Cleary with his shoulder. So, you know, that's an absolute huge effort from them. And Penrith massively rely on that back three starting their sets with pace, power, quick play of the balls, extra effort, and absolutely worked to a tee here. They absolutely churned through metres all night. And Stephen Crichton's read to grab that intercept where Bunny scored, he gets it wrong, was stupendous. And even when they did allow the final Bunny try after, you know, massive pressure, it was at least out on the touchline, making the kick as difficult as possible. As Jed said, you probably do back Adam Reynolds for that. And it's a bit of a shame that 2 unsuccessful shots from him at levelling the game from, you know, in his last match for Southend, it came down to that. But cracking career from him. And on the flip side, Penrith, and especially Ivan Cleary, with how long he's been in the game, both playing and coaching without a premiership, you know, very, very deserved winners for what they've built these past 2 years. And we go again and look forward to next season.
We talk about the past 2 years, mate. Obviously, they've made back-to-back grand finals. There's only Kurt Capewell, who's leaving the club, who's played in them 2 grand final teams. And obviously, the main nucleus is still going to be at that club. Can they go again next year and the year after? They've got an unbelievable footing in this competition.
Absolutely. There's no reason why not. See, Matt Burton's moving on as well. But, you know, some of those players in that team got a huge breakthrough. You look at, you know, Brian Totter, how young he is and what a season he's had. Dylan Edwards, I think, you know, maybe been a bit critical of him throughout the season, but I think in the last 2 games in the finals especially, he's kind of showing his best. He's a lot more reliable, churning through metres, and they've just got a ridiculous team, haven't they? That spine's phenomenal. There's so many good workhorses in it. You even look at, you know, some of the bench players, Scott Sorensen, Spencer Linnea, had Key Cow coming off the interchange as well. There's no reason why they can't keep competing and being one of the absolute standouts for the next few years and building a bit of a dynasty, I think.
Talk to me about that. Oh, sorry, go on, Jed.
No, you go first, it's fine.
I was going to say, Woody, talk to me about that late switch to Keekau on the bench. Why do you think that happened, and do you think it worked well for him?
I'm not sure why it happened exactly. It was kind of a bit of a curveball, but I think the way both him and Martin played in the end, it did work out. I know Liam Martin played a bit on the edge and then came back into the middle. You know, he's always strong in defence and attack. And then Kikau came on and played a bit like a man possessed. I don't know if it, you know, it was always planned or kind of got a bit of a boot that he was starting on the interchange, but he ran really hard and he was bullying players in defence as well. And he nearly grabbed a try. So, you know, he said it did work out. Don't know exactly why, but, you know, it came good in the end.
What I just wanted, to ask you both really is that Dylan Edwards isn't a game-breaking fullback, but what I will say, he's a reliable fullback in what he does. He's worked hard on his game. He's usually pretty sound, apart from that game against Parra where he butchered that high bomb. He's usually safe under the high ball. He gets good run meters and he returns it well, and his tackling's pretty good. For the squad that Penrith have, do you think it works better that they don't really have a game-breaking fullback, but they've got a reliable fullback, especially when you look at the outside backs they've got and how strong they are? Do you think if they were to have sort of a Luttrell or a Turbo, do you think it could become a case of too many cooks? And do you think Edwards works well, or do you think they could work just as well with a world-class fullback?
I think because their defence is so good, and you know, in these last three games especially, they don't need that many points to kind of win and get themselves through a game. So I think it probably does work out. And with Edwards at the back, like I said, I think he's continually improved throughout the season as well. I think that's worked a lot better than when Crichton was at fullback and Staines was on the wing. Would it improve them if they had one of these absolute worldies at fullback? You know, I imagine it probably would, but whilst it's working for them, it's kind of horses for courses, isn't it? And I still think Dylan Edwards will, you know, he probably can turn into a game breaker, but I think the job he does is perfect for them at the minute.
I think if you look at the other top sides and the other top fullbacks in the league, let's look at the Roosters, let's look at Melbourne, let's look at Manly for Tedesco, Pappenhausen and Turbo. I think the reason why they all work so well is because they offer a different ball handling option in attack. You look at Radley, you look at Jake Trbojevic and you look at Dale Finucane, who's obviously now leaving Melbourne. They're all workhorsey type loose forwards. They've all got decent hands, but they're not someone who's going to link in the line too often. Penrith have Isaiah Yeo, who is arguably the best ball handling loose forward or best ball handling forward in the entire competition, if not the entire world. He probably is the entire world. Isaiah Yeo is exceptional for what he does with Nathan Cleary and Jerome Luai. He links up perfectly to the left and the right. He can pass to both sides as well. And Dylan Edwards isn't necessarily needed in attack as much. He obviously is needed for the get-out sets, but you very rarely see Dylan Edwards link up in the middle, much like Turbo does or much like Pappenhausen does or definitely like James Tedesco does, because Tedesco sometimes is first receiver for Roosters. But yeah, I agree, Jed. I just don't think Edwards is that type of fullback, and he very rarely drops a ball. He's always safe at getting at least 150-plus metres a game. And he's obviously trusted. He's been there for years. And I guess that's all you want. If Isaiah Yeo doesn't play, or if they don't even have him at the club, I think Edwards' spot becomes a bit more hotly contested. But I think Isaiah Yeo offers a lot more security for Edwards at fullback.
Totally agree. Could not. Yeah, I was going to link that to that, the fact they've got the Isaiah Yeo in attack as well. So, yeah, I'm glad that you agreed on that.
Nice one. What else, Woody? What else sparked your thoughts on Penrith? Why did they win this game over the Bunnies?
It was so, so close. There was so little in it. No kind of braver back Cleary's kicking was the absolute key. But I think, like Jed said, it is, they just had that bit extra, that bit more desperation, especially after last year. I think it was so difficult in the forwards for them to kind of have a game breaking game for the Panthers as well. You know, a lot of players didn't make a lot of meters, but so much heart in defence, making huge tackles, real desperation. And I think that the back three especially really broke it, making those meters and getting the better position for starting the sets. Now, compared to Bunnies, who, you know, most of the first half, they're absolutely pinned off Cleary's bombs.
You mentioned in your report, mate, that obviously the amount of balls that weren't caught on the full and obviously dropped bombs or not attempted at bombs. Do you think that was due to maybe the naivety of the back three? You've got to think Taff and Paulo. I think Paulo's got about 20-something games and Taff's obviously his eighth game. Obviously, Johnston can't really come into that bracket. But I know Taff a few times, he let the ball bounce. I noticed Campbell Graham did it as well, and luckily he caught it, but that was a really strange one. Do you think that was down to the naivety, or do you think that was more down to how precise Nathan Cleary's kicks were?
I think maybe a bit of both, to be honest. I remember when you're talking about now that ball bounced, the Pams were very close to scoring that fight, weren't they? It was still six tackle and they got away with it. But yeah, I think the defensive body was obviously rushing up on Cleary so much to kind of close down his running game and kind of leave him with less options. Then he was just picking them off with these absolutely perfect kicks, and they were relentless. And he's obviously kicked immaculately all season, but it almost went to another level in the grand final, especially in the first half. This ridiculous how pinpoint they were. But yeah, it's obviously is difficult without that big experience. Like I said, Taft played less than 10 games. He's getting absolutely peppered with that. But yeah, I think kind of a bit of deer in headlights with a few of those, and kind of scared of making a big error, but then almost making an error by not committing to it.
I'm going to test you both now, lads. And I want two answers from Woody. I want two answers from Jed. So starting from last year's grand final against Melbourne, there's only four players who didn't take the field for Penrith in this year's grand final, and I want all four answers. So, Jed, I'll go to you first because Woody's scratching his eyes because he obviously don't know yet. But, Jed, have you got an answer for the first one?
So, four players who played for Penrith in last year's grand final but didn't play this year.
Correct.
I'm trying to think who were... One of them will be a winger, I would imagine.
Evidently, you've already worked out that 13 players from last year played again this year, obviously.
Yeah. Who didn't play last year? I'm thinking, is it a winger? But then Josh Mansard didn't play. Did Josh Mansard play last year? Or was it? I'll go Josh Mansard, but I don't think he did play anyway.
That's correct.
Is it? Okay. That's one I've got. Okay. Go on, I'll go to Woody. Woody can have a go, and then I'll come back to me for my second one.
Forward, prop?
Yes, mate. It was the prop slash captain.
Is he at the Tigers?
Unfortunately so, mate, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know it is.
James Tamo?
Correct. Back to you, Jed.
Trying to think. Obviously, a lot of young players still there. I'm trying to think who's gone. Or who was injured. I'm pretty sure it's not, but I'll have a stab at Charlie Staines because I know he made his debut last season.
Good shout, but incorrect. I'll give you a clue now. So one of them is now playing over here, and one of them is still in the Penrith squad but didn't play. Back to you, Woody.
The one's in Super League now.
Correct.
In Yorkshire?
Yes.
Zane Tetavano?
Nice, brilliant show.
Great shout.
I'm empty now.
Go on, Jed.
I'm thinking it must be a centre because Matt Burton and Paul Momorowski were not the first choice centres last season. So I'm trying to think by process of elimination that it should be a centre, but I can't think who the centres were off the top of my head. Am I on the right lines or am I talking nonsense?
You are right, yeah, but this guy didn't actually play centre in the game. If you can vaguely remember back to last year when we were podcasting, Jed, this guy was centre all season and then got dropped in the last couple
of games. I know it is, Brent Naden.
Yeah, Brent Naden. So Brent Naden was on the bench and obviously was 18th man yesterday. So yeah, good shot, lads. I hope everybody listening to that managed to get that as well. So Josh Mansur, James Tarmow, Brent Naden and Zane Tetavano. And then obviously the other ones who had another game, Dylan Edwards, Stephen Crichton, Tyrone May, Brian Toto, Jerome Luai, Nathan Cleary, Api Korisau, James Fisheris, William Mikikau, Liam Martin, Isaiah York, Kurt Capewell and Moses Leota. And obviously Ivan Cleary is still the coach as well. So superb stuff. It shows what an unbelievable club that is at the minute. Woody, we'll round off, mate. Tell us your player ratings.
Still relieved that me and Jed managed to churn out those four. Yeah, so after first watching the game on Sunday and kind of sending my ratings through, I thought maybe I was a bit harsh with them just because the game was so tight. But having gone back and watched it and kind of realised just how good the backs were, I've bumped a few up a little bit. So I'll go through 1 to 17. Then Dylan Edwards, I've given an 8 in the end. Played through that injury, which I mentioned, and got through a mountain of metres and 136 metres just on kick returns. And I think the only kind of foot he put wrong was made an error on a bit of a big attacking opportunity, but when Cam Murray made that big break late on, it was him making the cover tackle on that, so they came up with a clutch moment there. Stephen Crichton, one in from him then, also giving him an 8, mainly down to that read off that intercept to Cody Walker, because you know, in the end that turns out to be a match winning try and potentially a 12 point swing in the 65th minute, and he was a threat on that and he topped 200 metres as well, which is a phenomenal effort. Paul Momorowski in the other centre, giving him 6.5, and that's not to say he played badly. I just don't think he got an awful lot of chance to see the kind of big moments and get a lot of ball. And that's a third Premiership win with a third different club in 4 years. But this is the first time he's actually been involved in part of a grand final squad. So what he went about his work really nicely when he kind of did get a chance. But, you know, kind of defended the Bunnies' dominant side really well as well. He did cough up an error in a couple six agains, but a solid outing for him. Matt Burton, the other centre then, 7.5 have gone for him, and a really good way for him to sign off before he heads to the Doggies. And we said it earlier in the season, but don't know if he would be regretting that decision now, but maybe the fancy's hanging around at Panthers for a bit longer, but he wants to play in the halves. A few handling errors for him and a penalty, but that line to open the scoring was an absolute peach. To the chases he put on clearing bombs all night were ridiculous. He bundled Jackson Paolo into touch at one point to win back possession off one. Really good from him. The whole back line were great. Brian Totto then on the other wing, 8.5 from him. He probably was one of the contenders for the Clive Churchill Medal as well. Absolute standard for him, outstanding performances. And this is another to cap off a great season. You know, the Bunnies were trying to nullify him in this game. Absolutely didn't work. 238 metres, six busts. Really crucial early set carries. And best of all for him, he proposed to his girlfriend, now fiance, in the stadium at full time. And she said, yes, sir. What an absolute night for him. Into the halves then, Jerome Luai, giving him an eight. And I think his efforts often, well, a lot of the time get understated because of, you know, how good Cleary performs. But produced once again in here. I think he's been really good in the final series. The first few minutes, he called a successful, got Cleary to call a successful captain's challenge to overturn a knock-on against him, which was ballsy, and set up Burton for his try. He looks really, really confident at the minute. He's playing absolute class. Nathan Cleary alongside him then, giving him an 8.5 as well. Maybe give him an 8.6 because he just edged the man of the match, but managed to come up with a good once again. The pressure on him was ridiculous. Like I mentioned, Bunnies were obviously really targeting him and trying to shut him down. Got pretty well contained for quite a lot by the defence, but managed to pull out that kicking game on point, kept South Sydney pinned. The only blemish he made was getting absolutely pied off by Cody Walker for his try, but he forced an error from him late on to gain a bit of revenge and close the game out, so I'm sure he's not too bothered by that. Into the pack then, Moses Leo at the first, giving him a six, maybe a little bit harsh on him, but you know, he only had two fairly short stints, really solid efforts in both. 73 metres from eight carries. You know, a lot of them were early on, were in heavy traffic. 34 metres post-contact from those and put in 23 tackles as well, but just wasn't on the pitch for an awfully long time. Happy Coruscant, given a seven. Kind of weird rating him because his service was awesome to the half, really sharp. Threat ball in hand. He made 61 metres, nicked a penalty from jumping out of dummy half and running into defender as well, but and racked up 51 tackles, but like I said, it's undone a little bit by 15 misses, but again, he was classed. The whole spine was brilliant. James Fisher-Harris next to him, giving him a seven. Made a really big start to the game. I think in the opening 23 minutes, which was his first stint, he'd made 70 metres to kind of help him get on top. Made a couple of errors and got stripped one-on-one, which I'm sure he'd be annoyed about, but he came on to finish the game out and he's running around like a man possessed in that closing stage as well. Second row then, Kirk Capewell. Giving him a six. He's another who this was his last game with Penrith. He's moving to Brisbane, obviously, and signs off of a premiership. He was really quiet in attack. In 38 metres from six runs. He played 80 minutes. Another who got done by Cody Walker on his try, but he did chuck it about and put in 40 tackles, which was second to Appy. Liam Martin started the game in place of Keekow, giving him a seven. Really strong carry. Put some massive hits in. You know, he kind of only knows one way to play the game. That's really hard, really fast. He played 54 minutes. Like I said earlier, he mixed it between the edge and the middle as well and puts absolutely everything to all he does. Isaiah Yeo then, 8.5 given him. As ever, brilliant on both sides of the ball. 168 metres from 19 runs, 36 tackles, a couple of misses, but like you said, Jamie, and Jed asked the question, is working the link man in attack is absolutely crucial, as it has been all season. He is pivotal to that Penrith team. On to the interchange then, Liam Keekau, giving him an 8. Really good impact from the bench. You could tell he was riled up. Ran hard in attack and he was just a bully in defence. And he's really unlucky to have that try ruled out when Cleary threw him that offload as well. It's just slightly forward. It's awesome to hold on to that and finish. But and in the celebrations, as well, he managed to get a dig back at Paul Kent, so giving him at least a half a bonus point for that. Really enjoyed that. Tyrone May, giving him a 4.5 because he only got 13 minutes and he worked a bit as a ball playing lock in that time. I think he made about seven passes, nine tackles, and did have a bit of an error late on, which could have been costly. Luckily, it wasn't. Scott Sorensen, 6.5 for him. Solid in the time he is on, as usual. 85 minutes from 8 carries, 23 tackles, really busy effort from him. Then rounded out, Spencer Linneo, 5.5 for him. He also only got 13 minutes, so it's hard to do too much and rack out a score, but chucked himself about and he had that big charge down on Reynolds, which got the ball back for Penrith as well. So fair play to him. That was a really big play.
Superb stuff. And that rounds out our NRL coverage for 2021. Obviously, we'll still have a couple of podcasts left before we go on a bit of a winter break or a winter session. But we just want to thank everyone for listening to us throughout the NRL season. This is the primary reason why we had the podcast, to cover the best competition in the world. And it's been spot on from us. We've really enjoyed covering it from start to finish, all the way from the previews up out. We started in January, all the way into October as well. So don't know, I just wanted to pass over to you two, just if you wanted to say a quick little bit as well for covering the NRL.
No, it's just obviously something we enjoy doing. Started in a lockdown dream just because we had no else to do, and we're here now. And it's first 1.5 years, first full season under his belt. Thanks to everybody who listens to us talk absolute nonsense most of the time. For example, I picked Manly to be my wooden spooners, so shows how much I know. Although I did tip Souths to win the whole thing, and I was came up very close. So swings and roundabouts. Sometimes I know stuff, sometimes I don't. But thank you for listening nonetheless.
Yeah, for me, it's been an absolute pleasure getting on board. Obviously, I came slightly partway through the season, but it's been absolutely cracking every week. Great to sit and chat with you two every week, and hopefully kind of the fans are enjoying it as well. I'll probably hang around until Eels win a premiership, so maybe be on this podcast of the day. Yeah, we love doing it. We only do it because we love the game. We love watching it. We love talking about it. So stay tuned, everyone.
Superb stuff. And last but not least, we've got the Super League playoffs. It was the semi-finals this past weekend, leading into the grand final this next weekend. It was the Catalan Dragons 28, OKR 10, and St. Helens 36, Leeds Rhinos 8. Two expected results, Jed, but I'd say OKR put in a bit more of a battle than Leeds did, but two standard performances from two top teams.
Yeah, and both teams thoroughly deserve to be in the grand final. Fair play to OKR. They were thoroughly outclassed, but they did give it an effort and just came up short on the night. But they could be proud of what they've achieved this season. Obviously, I know it's hard to give Leeds any praise because I don't like Leeds. No offence to any Leeds Rhinos fans, but I'm sure you feel about the same about many other teams. But yeah, didn't really have any. It's sort of like they were consigned to defeat before they even kicked off, and they never really threatened Saints at all. But yeah, we'll definitely be rooting for a Catalan victory this weekend. And hopefully, I think that'll be fantastic for the game and rugby league as a whole.
Anything that stood out for you in these two games, Woody, and very much so, what's your preview for this coming weekend that we will both be at live?
Yeah, so obviously wasn't surprised by the results, but I think when it, you know, comes down to the semi-finals, you kind of think and hope that you're going to get a few tighter games and a bit more interest to it. But OKR, just got to give them massive praise for the season they've had. So I can't believe they got to the semi-final. But Catalans really deserve their spot in that grand final. They had a little bit of a wobble at the end of the season. Sam Tompkins was missing as well. I thought Archer Moore kind of struggled a little bit at fullback, so they'll be hoping to have Sam Tompkins back fit for this weekend. I'm sure he'll strap himself up somehow and get back in there. St. Helens, they've got the best squad we've seen in the recent Super League years. It's just an incredible team. Again, you'd expect Leeds to put up a bit more of a fight, but they've just been completely outdone by a far superior team. And the Saints are scoring after 4 minutes, backing up with another try 10 minutes later. Never really be in the game, Leeds. Looking ahead to this weekend, I'd absolutely love Catalans to do it. Been phenomenal this season, got the league leader's shield, kind of been brilliantly building over the last few years, and I think it would be good for the game, but going to be a hell of a battle against Saints. So they're looking for a three-peat, got players in there who've played in several grand finals now, even their young players. Jack Wellsby, who we spoke to recently, won a grand final last year, 2021. Not many Catalans players have probably played in and won a grand final, so I think Saints probably do just have that edge, but now we wait and see. Hopefully be a cracker and it'll maybe come down to the odd kick or a bit of golden point again.
I'm already calling it, mate. Catalans by James Maloney drop goal. What's your thoughts on it, Jed?
I was just going to say, I feel like James Maloney will be pivotal. He is a born winner. He's won numerous grand finals in the NRL. If you look at him, how he conducted himself when Catalan pulled off that unbelievable, impossible comeback, obviously about a month ago. He's a player who is absolutely made for the big occasions, and it is essentially his retirement game. I know he's going to part-time in like the French second division, but yeah, he'll want to go out on a high, and he'll just take it all in his stride and won't be fazed by it at all.
rumours has it that he's going to keep the winning drop goal, take off his shirt and have a Three Blokes logo on his vest underneath. So
first.
He has been on the podcast, so you know he's very much wanting to promote us. But yes, I totally agree with you, lads. I hope it's going to, number one, I hope it's a brilliant game and promotes the sport. St. Helens are a team that is the perfect rugby league club, essentially, and Catalans are a team that everybody wants to get behind. So it's pretty much the perfect grand final at the minute as well. And if anyone would have said that the semi-finals would have consisted with the likes of Catalan, Ulster and Leeds this year, over the likes of Wyre, Wigan, FC, Huddersfield, who were touted to have a good season as well, and obviously Wakefield, I think everyone is very surprised by the results this year. So it's nice to see a bit of variety as well. Thank you very much, Woody. Thank you very much, Jed, for joining me on Three Blokes and a Rugby League podcast once again, episode 113. Head on over to our social media pages where you'll find a variety of content, which will hopefully pique your interest. Also, please give us a rating on all our podcasting platforms, if possible, please. We're available on all podcasting platforms, so please keep an eye out for any future podcasts and interviews, or have a listen to our archive of Tom Johnston, Barry McDermott, Adrian Morley, Emily Rudge, Jody Cunningham, Tommy Makinson, Rhys Lynn, Joe Philbin, Jack Wellsby. I could go on all day long. We are trying to get an interview with Kelsey Gentles, but with the social media breakdown at the minute, it's quite difficult to get a hold of her. But hopefully we will have that coming to you this coming week. Thank you, everybody, for listening to episode 113, and we'll catch you all down the road.